This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Kip Allen.
I'm Liz Hoffman.
I'm Buzz Ulrich. Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
the Lutheran faith can now be read and sung by people in Kenya with a new hymnal in their very own Swahili language.
Martin Luther died February the 18th, 1546, in Eisleben, Saxony.
Serving the Lord in more than one way at the same time is very rare, if not unheard of, at least until now. Let me introduce you to a very talented man.
And now, today's Fast Track.
The people of Somalia, a country that is made up of almost 100% Muslims, may be hearing the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ soon if a man named Mohammed can fulfill a self-described mission vision. Mohammed is a translator who has worked translating Luther's Small Catechism and numerous other books. He has been working for the Lutheran Heritage Foundation and is set to begin seminary training at the Westfield House in Cambridge under the support of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mohammed's goal is to eventually begin a Lutheran church in Somalia, a country that is historically hostile towards Christians. His ideas include spreading the gospel through the Somalia media and by distributing published Lutheran works to residents.
The World Mission Prayer League is a group of chiefly North Americans who have come together with one goal, praying for the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ all over the globe, especially to those remote locations that have not yet heard the gospel. Thus far, they have gathered some 7,000 prayer warriors, but the group is always looking to add more on their website. Pastor Jake Gillard is the Director of Communication and Mobilization for the World Mission Prayer League and says in 75 years of existence, the league has not sent out requests for donations to those who sign up to be praying members. You'll find a link to this organization at the WLN Digest page at kfuoam.org.
The International Lutheran Council, or ILC, and the African Lutheran Theological Conference have sent a joint letter of support to President Waxayum Adosa and the Ethiopian Evangelical Church, EECMY. The EECMY recently severed ties with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the Church of Sweden over issues of same-sex marriage and the ordination of practicing homosexuals into pastoral ministry. The EECMY, one of the largest Lutheran churches in the world, announced February 5th that it was severing fellowship with those churches who have openly accepted same-sex marriage.
The Board of Directors of Concordia Lutheran Mission Society met recently in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, to plan for the coming year. A major topic of discussion was what mission projects CLMS would commit to support over 2013 and how to fund those projects. CLMS President Cliff Haberstock reports that they have committed to raise $121,420 for 23 projects in six different countries, including Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Honduras, Ukraine, Thailand, and Canada. Among the projects, CLMS will be supporting our vacation Bible schools, summer camps, and children's education programs, university student outreach, ministry to orphans, at-risk adolescents, and the elderly, prison ministry, missionary and deaconess support, medical and dental clinics, church building construction and rentals, and support for the Lutheran Church Canada's pastors with alternate training program, and a South Asian radio ministry.
High honors for Reverend John T. Pless, Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Mission at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, USA. Those honors came from his students, students who recognize the important role Pless has in teaching and helping them realize their potential. To that point, 14 of the professor's students worked together to present a book, Theology is Eminently Practical, Essays in Honor of John T. Pless, published by Lutheran Legacy and edited by Jacob Corzine and Brian Wolfmuller. The essays were written by former students who now live all over the world serving the church. We'll provide information about how you can find this book at the WLN Digest page on kfuo.org.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Hehe Wilongasi Lutheran Firehammer.
The Lutheran Lutheran faith can now be read and sung by people in Kenya with a new hymnal in their very own Swahili language. It's been called an incredible labor of love by the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. After only 4 years of working on the project, 20,000 copies of the Ibada Takatifu, or Divine Service, is currently being distributed to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya. Reverend Dr. Timothy Quill is the Dean of International Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He talks about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya began in 1958. European, Swedish Lutherans and some other Lutheran missionaries brought the gospel. The church now has over 100,000 members, 150 pastors, they have evangelists, deaconesses, school teachers. They have a wonderful seminary in Matongo, evangelist schools.
With this type of growth, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya was in need of a hymnal. The newly published hymnal was recently presented to Reverend Tom Amolo, the chairman of the Hymnal Commission, as well as a pastor in Kenya. Along with Dr. Quill's work, Paul Grimm, Deaconess Sandra Ryan, Cantor Richard Resch, and others played a vital role in the project.
Well, they had all of these institutions, but they never had their own ELCK, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya, hymn book. So Archbishop Walter Obari approached the seminary and asked if we could help them develop a book in Swahili. Because the people there, some of them were using the Anglican hymn books, a few in English, like in Nairobi. Some used the Tanzanian Swahili hymn book. Some worship like Pentecostals. Some worship with no liturgy or hymn book. And so if you go into a Lutheran church there, you never knew what you were getting.
And what material is included in the hymnal?
You have a divine service. It has the catechism and their funeral service, morning and evening prayer, and the psalms, and so forth.
The new hymnal was dedicated at a service this past Sunday in Nairobi. Reverend Dr. Al Culver is the Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He attended the ceremony at the Uhurl Lutheran Church.
I was there on Sunday when they dedicated the hymnal, and it was actually a rather large event. The local press came and did an interview with the Archbishop, and I was there, Dr. Quill was there, and also Randy Golter, the new Executive Director of the Office of International Mission, attended as well. Also, Deaconess Sandra Ryan was there, and she played a very crucial role in the development of this hymnal. She was traveling back and forth between the states, sort of as a technical advisor for the people in Kenya on the hymnal. She helped lay out the music.
Dr. Culver says this new hymnal is going to be beneficial to the Kenyans in many ways.
Well, it's always important for a church to have a hymnal. They need to have a set of hymnody and songs and a liturgy, and this will be a resource for their church for the next 20 to 50 years. So, right now, when the ELCK was formed, they didn't have a hymnal, and for a while they used the Tanzanian hymnal. And then that hymnal went out of print. And so a hymnal serves as a way of unifying the church, that every congregation will have an opportunity to have a uniform worship, which in the past, or up until now, hasn't always been the case in Kenya.
A very familiar tune was sung at the dedication service on Sunday in the Swahili language. Dedication ceremony was a momentous occasion in Kenyan Lutheran history. Dr. Culver explains how Archbishop Obari feels about the new hymnals.
There were several hundred people attended, including some of the mission partners of the ELCK. There were some Norwegians there and other guests as well. So it was quite a momentous day. Archbishop Obari considers the building of Luther Plaza, which is the building next to the church, and the development of the hymnal, the two greatest things that were accomplished while he was the bishop.
Dr. Culver, along with all of those involved, were excited for the success of the Kenyon Hymnal Project.
It was a great day, though, for the Kenyon Church and for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to be able to assist them as we did, and look forward to the fruits of that in the future.
Reverend Dr. Timothy Quill says the work isn't over yet and explains what the next step is.
And from then, we'll go out from there, and there'll be introductory workshops to teach the people how to use the hymn book all over Kenya.
Donations to aid in shipping additional copies of the hymnal can be sent to the Concordia Theological Seminary Project marked Kenyon Hymnal Project.
Este é Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Rural Lutheran News Digest.
The Reformation would not have taken place in the same manner if it were not for the man who wrote 95 theses in protest of papal indulgences and other decrees by the papacy. Martin Luther died February the 18th, 1546, in Eisleben, Saxony. Dr. Luther had been ill for several years, but managed to travel to see his family just a few weeks before his death. He even delivered a sermon just 2 days before he was stricken with chest pains on February the 17th, and he prayed to the Heavenly Father using Psalm chapter 31, verse 5. He died just a few hours later in the early morning hours of February the 18th.
We are beggars. This is true. That statement is purportedly the last written words of Martin Luther. At the end of his days, he was in Eisleben attempting to resolve a family dispute. But he knew his days were very shortly over. WLN Digest looks back at Martin Luther with Dr. Ken Sherb, pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri in the USA, and a well-known scholar of Luther. He says, long before Luther's dying days, the Reformer talked about the end of human life.
Every Christian theologian is talking about death all the time because, as Luther said, the central teaching of Christianity is resurrection. And you say, oh, wait a second, I thought Luther said the central teaching of Christianity was justification by grace. Well, yeah, he said that too. They're two sides of the same coin. Justification means forgiveness. Forgiveness means life. Life means resurrection. So really, it's just the same thing looked at from two different points of view. And so, yeah, Luther was talking about death and resurrection throughout. One of the things that he did in the 1530s was to preach a series of sermons on the great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. And some of the things he says there are so, so profound. We can still identify with them today, and we can profit. He says, a miser can be consoled with money, a sick person with medicine, a beggar or hungry person with a piece of bread. But none of these can help a Christian. For because he believes and knows that God has both a heaven and a hell, he is immediately terrified by God's wrath. He becomes a timid and dejected person. Therefore, he finds joy and solace only in the promise of the life to come, as he hears this article that informs him that Christ has risen from the dead, that he will also awaken him and transport him from death and every misfortune to life eternal.
Dr. Sherb says many of the problems of today are the same as in Luther's time.
Luther was very much aware of the fact that in the midst of life, we are in death. We constantly have threats to our security, health problems, war, pestilence, famine. In Luther's day, he knew about some of those realities in a much more vivid way than most of us today, listening to this program, would. And And, as he said, Christians also are aware not only of those dangers in this world, but dangers to our eternal survival. And so one of the things that Luther says in this sermon on 1 Corinthians 15 is, though we may be more wretched than any other people on earth, though we may be frightened by whatever will frighten and aggrieve us, death, hell, and every misfortune, and though these may become as severe as they can, now Christ has risen not from sleep, but from death, for he died and was buried, the same as other people, but he came forth alive from the grave in which he lay, and destroyed and consumed both death and the devil. He tore the devil's belly and hell's jaws asunder and ascended into heaven, and he's now seated in eternal joy and glory. And Luther says this is to be comfort and defiance. We can defy the world, he says, for in his name we are baptized, and we hear and profess his word. It's something remarkable to be able to say that you can be defiant when you've got all these vulnerabilities, and the world has all these risks, and the wrath of God has all these weapons against you, and yet in Christ there is no condemnation, and we live. And that's Luther's confidence in the resurrection.
In Martin Luther's 95 Theses, he ends saying, Christians are to be exhorted that they be diligent in following Christ, their head, through penalties, death, and hell, and thus be confident of entering into heaven rather through many tribulations than through the assurance of peace. Dr. Kinsherb says a dying Martin Luther found comfort in Christ's death.
Now, see, Luther did not have to find his assurance or his peace in this world. And so therefore he could be fearless. He could be bold. He could be defiant. Another place he says that by calling Christ the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, Paul wishes to signify that the resurrection is to be viewed and understood as having already begun in Christ, indeed, as being more than half finished. And this remnant of death is to be regarded as no more than a deep sleep, and the future resurrection of the body will not differ from suddenly awakening from such a sleep. For the main and best part of this has already come to pass, namely that Christ, our head, has arisen. But now that the head is seated on high and lives, there's no longer any reason for concern. We who cling to him must also follow after him as his body and his members, for where the head goes and abides, there the body with all the members must necessarily follow and abide. And in another place he says, it's like Christ has gotten out of that tomb, and now he's taken us by the hand, and he's pulling us out of our tomb, and all death has left to hold on to keep our body in the grave is it's holding us by a toe, and Christ has hold of our body, and he's going to pull us to be with him forever in heaven.
The hymn you hear is Martin Luther's In Peace and Joy I Now Depart.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
Hebrew scholars agree, a day is a day. This is Ken Ham, publisher of the award-winning Answers magazine. Not long ago, Professor Judd Davis put an important question to the test. He asked experts in ancient Hebrew about the word day in Genesis chapter 1. Now, most of these experts believe the earth is billions of years old, so you can't say they were sympathetic to a young earth view. But almost all of them admitted something surprising. The Hebrew word for day, they said, in Genesis 1, means a literal 24-hour day. That's how the first readers of Genesis would have understood it. And that's what God meant. You see, Christians who add millions of years into the Bible do so because of outside reasons. They mix in secular ideas. But God's word has no room for cramming in long ages.
Science confirms that the earth is young, and you'll discover how on our website, answersingenesis.org. You'll find faith-building resources at answersingenesis.org.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടി ആകുന്നു. യ വിശ്വ ലൂത്രൻ സമാചാർ ഹെ.
God calls people to serve Him in many ways, whether it be through teaching, mission work, preaching, working with the youth, or through music ministry. Most people who serve the Lord have one talent that implements their services. Serving the Lord in more than one way at the same time is very rare, if not unheard of, at least until now. Let me introduce you to a very talented man.
My name is Christopher Allman. I am serving currently as a strategic mission developer for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to be based in Leipzig, Germany. And essentially what I will be doing is serving a twofold role.
Reverend Dr. Christopher Allman and his family will be moving from Lincoln, Nebraska to Leipzig, Germany within a few months. His first role will be to lend support and pastoral assistance to a new congregation seeking growth in Leipzig.
And I'm being sent to lend support and aid with respect to evangelization and further enhancing the church's life. This is the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany. There's currently one congregation, and they have been doing intentional outreach currently to Iranian Persian immigrants who come to Leipzig and who eventually enter the fold of the congregation. They're looking to expand into other areas, and I'm being sent to assist in that expansion.
To most, that sounds like a huge task for one man, but that is only part of his new responsibilities.
The broader role, the second role, is serving as area music program coordinator for LCMS Eurasia. And essentially what I will be doing is organizing, coordinating, creating concert series, recital programs that serve as a way of giving witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, evangelizing with respect to enhancing and bringing people into the fold of our Lutheran church partners in the area.
And Dr. Allman is not just an organist. His talent, education, and knowledge far surpasses the norm.
Ever since childhood, I've wanted to be both a pastor and an organist. And when people caught wind of this, or when they knew of my educational pursuits, they kind of had this puzzled look on their face, which all of which amounted to them thinking, well, that just can't happen. We have never seen that before, that sort of thing. Well, I actually did it. I proved all of them wrong. And I have always been interested in organ music ever since childhood. I started piano when I was age 9 and continued until I was 15. And at that point, I had switched to study of the organ here in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is where my family and I are currently located. I progressed fast enough and well enough, and I liked it enough to make it my major point of study in college at Concordia University, Seward, Nebraska, where I was also a pre-seminary student. I graduated, then pursued Master of Divinity at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and pursued a master's degree and an interdisciplinary degree in organ performance, musicology, and liturgical studies at the University of Notre Dame, during which time I was ordained into the Holy Ministry, beginning my second year of study there. And then after my time at Notre Dame, I spent 3 years at the University of Texas pursuing a Doctor of Musical Arts in organ performance under the late Jerry Hancock, who is a renowned improvisateur both in the United States and abroad.
Dr. Allman will perform pieces such as this to congregations in Germany. Dr. Allman feels that music is another way of bringing people to know Christ.
This has proven fruitful in terms of bringing people into the doors of the church to encounter the church in a positive, attractive environment, using cultural outlets such as music and other forms of art to expose them to the church. And in many ways, it has proven to be a very good catechetical device, to the point where many people become baptized and become regular members of the congregation.
Elizabeth Allman, wife of Dr. Allman, is equally excited about this new adventure for her family.
Well, it was kind of a culmination of a long time of just waiting to see what the Lord had in store for us. And so even though it was something that I had never expected for my life, by the time it came along, it just seemed right. It's, you know, it's scary and exciting all at the same time, but I really feel like we really haven't had any doubts about the fact that this is where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. So the position is everything that my husband is and does and has studied and has encountered in his life, whether on purpose or by accident. So it sort of just seemed made for him.
Elizabeth envisions great cultural experiences for their sons, Thomas, and newborn son, Matthias.
We're really excited that Thomas and Matthias will have such an amazing multicultural experience at a young age, and they'll both be very fluent in German, which they'll probably be better than Chris and I at German. And so we're really enjoying that aspect of it, too, that it will be such an education for them and that they'll be bilingual in that way from a young, early age.
Reverend Dr. Christopher, Elizabeth, and their sons will undoubtedly face many joys in bringing Christ to Leipzig, Germany. And with so many different tasks before him, Dr. Allman says one thing is for sure.
We will not run out of things to do, that's for sure.
WLN Digest will continue to follow the Allmans and give updates on their journey for Christ.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, write to WLN Digest, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email news@KFUO.org.